When people write beauty articles with headlines like, I'm in my 30s and I already feel aged out of makeup. Sorry, how is this beneficial to women? Newsflash, it's not. Or this gem, a common mistake for women over 50 is to not wear any makeup at all. Okay, bully, how does that help? Again, another newsflash, it doesn't. One thing we can agree on is that the positive conversations about mature women and beauty is not only long overdue, but the perception that media and society has created is ageist, condescending, misogynistic, and downright bullying. As a woman who is 53 and a beauty expert, to sum it up, this shit drives me bonkers. The How to Wear Makeup Over 40 articles get into one of my Andrea Claire rants faster than you can go with and part your hair on the side because not everyone suits a middle part. There is a biological age and a skin age, and the number isn't always mirrored. I have worked on faces whose biological age is in their 20s, but their skin age looks like they're in their 40s. Some of this is skincare practice, health, lifestyle, and of course, genetics. If you're seeking out how to look your best at any age, you want radiant, glowing, lit from within skin. This is across the board of biological age and skin age. Whether you are able to wear glitter, that's a quote unquote able, whether you are able to wear glitter, silver tones, super glossy lips, powder, foundation, etc., has absolutely nothing to do with if you're under 40. If you desire to wear glitter or a silver highlight or whatever these condescending articles tell you what you're doing wrong, just do it. Makeup is art. It's an expression of how you feel or what you like. Yes, beauty has rules, but we all know rules are made to be broken. Makeup doesn't know how old you are. Only you do. I find it such a weird place to be at my age because basically you hit 38 and the media starts slagging you on what you're doing wrong. Then you hit 65 and all of a sudden you're cute and you're brave wearing that glitter as a mature woman. If something feels good to you, do it. Life is too short. Wear the glitter with your side part or wear no makeup at all. This is why I was inspired to do the Fuck You 50s. Buckle up, ladies. We're in for a ride. Welcome to the Fuck You 50s, the podcast for women who refuse to tolerate the bullshit anymore. This is real talk, real stories, and a long overdue reality check. I'm your host, Andrea Claire, and this podcast is the filter-free voice you've been waiting for, with a dose of F-bombs, the Fuck You 50s, unfiltered, unapologetic, and undeniably needed. My guest today is Karen Bertelsen, who you may recognize from various TV shows as seen on CFMT, Much More Music, HGTV, The W Network, Splice, and more. Karen decided to be the controller of her own narrative and pivoted from TV hosting to her wildly successful lifestyle blog, The Art of Doing Stuff. Join us as we discuss Brooke Shields' surprise husband stitch during a labiaplasty, what the fuck, and women in the media, how they still need to make a declaration when they stop wearing makeup. Hello, Alicia Keys and Pamela Anderson. All this and more groundbreaking conversations on the Fuck You 50s. I'm Andrea Claire. Let's get started. KB! I can't hear you. That's probably for the best.
Is it working now?
Yeah.
Okay. I had touched a tiny little mute button on the bottom.
Look at you, look so scholarly with all those books in the background.
Okay, so I'm good and I have a lot of books because I'm super smart.
Yes, great. I have no books because I'm not so super smart. So,
no, you're just kind of dumb.
It's true. Thank you so much for doing this. I so appreciate it.
So is this the first one?
No, second one. Second one's a charm.
Okay. How did the first one go?
Really well, I think. It's just interesting. And I guess too is like having a media background myself as well as you and Linda, right? So Linda had been doing TV hosting for HBO in Asia and she was getting solid gray and I was coloring her hair every like 2-3 weeks because she had to have it colored for camera. And then she had decided that she didn't want to color it anymore. And HBO basically said like, that's totally up to you. Like if you want to stop coloring your hair, that's fine. You will not be on camera anymore.
Yeah.
So she continued to color her hair until she moved back home to Texas. And so we had a whole conversation about that. And it's interesting too, you know, because
I feel like, sure, we have our experiences being in the media, but that still kind of like falls over into the general public, right? Because how we are influenced, how we present ourselves.
Well, yeah. Everything that we do is formed by marketing and media.
Yeah.
Like yeah. Everything. The glasses we wear, everything. I often wonder what I would be like if I were just sort of like lived in a cabin in the woods. With no influence. No, like you wouldn't care if you had a wrinkle. You wouldn't like.
Yeah.
You would care about other things like eating and disease and finding antibiotics. You have to worry about being wrinkled.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so true. And you know, most of my career has been behind the scenes, of course, right? As a hair and makeup artist. I remember when we were doing the TV show and it was kind of, and I don't know if I've ever shared this with you, but it was near like the first couple episodes that we shot and I got called into the editing suite. And they said, oh, we just want to show you something. So if you can just come so we can show you. And I'm like, sure. So I go and there is producer and two men that are working in the editing suite. And they have a freeze frame of me. I was like bent over mixing up like a coloring bowl. Then they had it freeze frame. And it's kind of like a three-quarter shot. So I think we kind of saw down on my knees maybe or something. And they start circling my stomach. And they're like, so we just wanted to show you this. And yeah. So if you just want to take care of that. And I was so pissed off.
No.
Right. I know. It's crazy. I should have accepted that feedback. Right. But I said to them, I said, are you kidding me? I said, I've had two children and we're on a makeover show that's supposed to be empowering women. And you're having me bent over with the camera angle going up. And asking me to, and I was like, no. And I think I just kind of stormed out. That was the end of that conversation.
And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. That sort of, you're not in charge of yourself. Like, you're just not. If you're a host, and even if you're presenting yourself as you were on that show as yourself, they want you to be whatever you, they want you to be. And that you was obviously somebody with, flaws. Oh my God.
So many flaws. Ugh. Well, and this kind of also kind of leads me into like one of the things I wanted to kind of talk to you about. I mean, there's so many different, questions I have and just want to hear your opinion and feedback and whatever. But coming from someone who had lots of like media background where you're hosting and you did like much more music and then you kind of segued from that into your lifestyle blog, which is fantastic. And having that career pivot, there's a lot of women once we get past a certain age, or maybe not even as an age thing, but I think a lot of us kind of think about having career pivots. So how did you pivot from being on TV to basically being the controller of your own narrative?
The controller of your own narrative, which is true. And that's like, I have gum. I should probably get rid of it.
No, it's classy on TV. Perfect.
This all is part of why I left television. Because I can do things like spit my gum across the room. What was the question? Why did I change careers?
Yeah. So you can spit gum out?
So I can spit gum out. I mean, honestly, the really reason that I was inspired to change careers was because nobody wanted to hire me anymore. So I thought, let's think about changing careers, because I aged out of television, really. And the other thing is that I wanted to leave because on television, if you're a host and you're presenting yourself as yourself, you're not really presenting yourself as yourself, meaning the producer, the executive producer, the director sort of forms how you appear and act on screen. And I wanted to have control over how I appeared and acted as myself. So actually, the only place that I was allowed to do that, the only place I was allowed to be completely myself, was the very first job I had, which was on CFMT, now known as Omni Television in Toronto. And I would talk in between the television shows. And one of those shows that I would talk in between was the Jerry Springer Show. That would make a whole good blog post in itself, that whole time in my life. That was the only station that let me be who I am. And then from there on in, like from that to wherever, much more music. And I've been on, you know, W Network, HGTV. all of them tried to change who I was, and I was worse on camera as a result of it. CFMT just let me do. They did not edit me. They trusted me to know what the boundaries were and just told me to go. And it was the most successful and I think the best I've ever been on television. So the shows just seemed to kept getting a little bit worse, or not even worse, just not what I wanted to do. So when it was getting harder to find a job, because I wasn't 35, I was probably, oh my God, like 38. I decided to take all the skills that I had and the things that I really liked to do, which was writing and just being myself, and use all those skills in another way. And that way, of course, was a blog.
I mean, the blog is fantastic. Well, one of my favorite blog posts ever, and I always reference it. And when I talk to people and tell them about your blog, it's always like the yogurt filled tampons.
Yeah, frozen yogurt tampons. And that was, it's funny because that was one of the first things I did. Like that was within the first couple of months of having a blog. I thought like, I can do whatever I want now. So yeah, let's try and put a frozen popsicle up in my vagina and tape it, video it. Yes. And the thing is, it actually worked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, people want to like talk about things that people are actually interested in. Aren't you interested in how to get rid of a yeast infection if you can?
Absolutely. For sure.
Along with, of course, powerful drugs.
And a comedic factor as well, for sure. So what year was that you had kind of decided to leave and start your blog?
Should have looked that up beforehand, shouldn't have I?
I'm sorry, I apologize.
It's your fault that I have shortcomings. 14 years ago, I think this will be my 14th or 15th anniversary. I got in March, and I got into blogging. Yeah, what it was, I didn't know what a blog was. Like, I really didn't know. I had been writing blog entries for HGTV and W Network for the shows that I hosted because they liked how I write it and write it.
Amazing.
They used to pay me to talk. I write it good.
Oh, that's funny.
I wrote quite well for their blogs. So I did that. And so I realized that I actually did like it and did it myself. So it would have been whatever 14 years ago was.
So the networks then decided you had a face for writing.
Andrea, that's very rude of you.
But funny, right?
Oh, funny, so it's okay.
I remember when I was doing So Chic with Stephen and Chris, and then I was doing going to do a woman's makeup, and she was like really like stiff like this, and I started kind of relaxing her shoulders, like I'm like massaging her, and then I said, "Relax, it's not a pap smear," and everybody laughed, and then they yelled "cut," and then I was told that I'm not allowed to make the jokes.
Oh my God! Yeah, I could see that.
That's like bloody funny. Anyway, how do you feel? Because obviously that's all about like ageism and everything too, how we end up aging out of our careers in the media, or, you know, even again, as a hair and makeup artist, even though I'm not really on camera, but I've been told to, not by a lot of people, but by a few people, that I should downplay my age and not tell people how old I am, because people won't want to hire me because I'll kind of seem out of date or out of touch. I mean, still to this day, like it's kind of fucked up. Like that's kind of like part of my inspiration behind this podcast, the Fuck You 50s, because I'm just like, come on. Like, I feel like we should be proud of our age, and we don't necessarily need to broadcast it. Of course not. But like, there's this huge movement right now with women kind of over 45. Do you feel that ageism is kind of changing? Do you feel like we're getting better, or what? Do you have any thought process on that?
I do. I don't really think we're getting better. I feel like, yeah, there's all this like this big deal about women over 40 in the media now, or celebrating women over 40 or 50, but it's only women who could pass for under 40. I still think there's so much focus on, yeah, you can be 50 as long as you still kind of look 40.
Right. It's interesting. I was on a shoot on Friday, and as we're kind of like wrapping up, I had said something to somebody about I said, my 16-year-old, I can't remember, it was in context at the time, but I was like, my 16-year-old speaks Mandarin. And everybody was like, sorry, did you just say 16-year-old? And I'm like, yeah, like, I feel like I look old enough to have a 16-year-old, right? But they all look kind of shocked. How is it that you have a 16-year-old? And I was like, okay, guys are just being super nice to me. Like, I have a 30-year-old and a 28-year-old as well. And they were like, you have a 30-year-old as well? And I'm like, yeah. They're like, how old are you? And I'm like, I'm 53. I always find it so funny because then people are like, I can't believe that you're in your 50s. And I'm like, I always kind of reference like the Golden Girls. The character that was Blanche, I just posted recently on my Instagram account how she was 53 and I'm currently 53. And it's funny when you see it together. Although it's funny, I look at it and I'm like, okay, well, if I cut my hair, I kind of feel like I look, you know, whatever. Can't run away from the jowls, right? They're fucking there.
Oh, I every night I think I'm going to get some tape. Like, you know how they have the face tape?
Yes. I put on face tape once for like being at home, because that's what one does. And I had such a migraine. It was for New Year's, not this past year, but the year before. And the girl, I was like, guys, I don't know if I can do New Year's. Like, my head is hurting so much. And the girls are like, mom, like, what's going on? And I'm like, well, I tried this face tape and I'm wondering if it's that. They're like, oh my God, just don't take off the face tape. So I took off the face tape, headache immediately went away. I'm like, so beauty is painful.
It's incredibly painful.
Oh, incredibly. I mean, it's all kind of like around the kind of the same thing, but I guess, how do you feel about representation of women in media, and especially as we age? And this kind of brings up to me, like in my mind, like that Allure headline that I sent you.
Oh, right.
Oh my God, it made me so angry. And when I posted about it, most people kind of agreed with me. Not that people do not need to agree with me. I like having conversation with people that don't agree. But the old lady energy flexed its well-toned muscles at the Golden Globes. And it's like, old lady energy, what the hell?
Yeah.
Like, it's so ridiculous. And then I found out that the writer of that was 74 years old. And I thought, I don't feel like that necessarily makes it okay.
Yeah, old lady energy flexed its well-toned muscles at the... I mean, there's so many things offensive about that.
Well, and it's interesting because she wrote kind of a rebuttal to all the uproar on Allure, right? She wrote just saying she meant it as big dick energy. But it's funny because I even think like old lady energy versus big dick energy, also, they're not even on the same plane. Like, they don't mean the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you'd have to be like big pussy energy or something, you know?
Is a false equivalent. Women in the media still have to make a declaration when they decide to stop wearing makeup. So I don't think that we've come that far. Two women have declared they're going to go makeup free, and it makes the news. Alicia Keys and Pamela Anderson. It makes the news when women don't wear makeup.
You know, it's so funny because I obviously knew that they had done this, but it didn't really sink in with me, I think, that it was such an announcement. But you're right. You're 100% right.
How fucking ridiculous is that?
No words, really. I see a lot of things that are targeted to like beauty and like our age category, right? Like how to do makeup for mature women. Like, that drives me crazy because I feel like that is a concept from like the 50s and 60s. It's kind of kept going, but it doesn't really make sense anymore.
So, but you're at an advantage because you're a makeup artist. So, and hair artist, like, you know that that's true, but people of, again, the stupid generation of us that have been raised by women who may have different opinions on this sort of thing. Like, I don't know. I was always told, like, once you get older, yeah, you can't have long hair. You just can't have long hair. My sister once, this is sort of apropos of nothing. When my sister first got married, and she got married very young, she got married when she was 18. My mother's advice to her was, when your husband comes home from work, make sure you're wearing lipstick, because he will be going to the bank during the day for whatever reason to put his money away. And the tellers at the bank are always very well put together and they're wearing lipstick. So you want to look as good as a bank teller.
Wow.
The crazy thing is my sister is addicted to lipstick now. She will go nowhere without, she could put lipstick on if her hand were cut off at the wrist, she could still worm that nub into the proper, like, to put on lipstick.
You know, I don't even know why my mind goes here, but I think of the latest thing with Brooke Shields. You hear about this, where she went in for like a, was it a labiaplasty? I don't even know if that I'm pronouncing it or if that's the right terminology, but it just was in the news. And the doctor that was performing the surgery gave her a little, you know, they used to refer to it as a husband stitch after you had babies. They would just like stitch
it up.
Yeah. And so he apparently took it upon himself to tighten her up without her permission. And now she's talking about all of that experience. What fucking doctor is so egotistical that he's like, I'm going to do Brooke Shields' husband a little favor and tighten her right up. Like, what the fuck is that about?
Wow. Yeah. I had not heard that. Like, so if she went in for a boob job, the doctor would think like, oh, maybe he would like them bigger. So let's just put on some bigger ones. So when you think about it, I guess it would have been her decision. So she had to decide, excuse me, that, yeah, I'm going to come out and tell everybody about my vaginal operation. Because she could have just been quiet. Like, would you have made that decision? Let's say the doctor did the same thing to you and you were as famous as Brooke Shields. Would you have gone public?
I probably would have. I mean, I guess it's kind of hard to say unless you're in that position, but I feel like I would have. I mean, I've posted on my Instagram, like I went to get my armpits waxed, and the woman waxing my armpits told me I had weird nipples. I was wearing a bra that was kind of sheer, and she was like, "Oh, your nipples are so weird, like they're so different." And then she's like, "Oh, can I see?" And she reached, she grabbed my bra, and I was like, "No, you can't see." And I was just like, it was so weird. And Sage and Zoe were on the outside of the door. We're at this nail salon down the street from our place. It was just after we moved here. The girls are like, Mom, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm fine. And I'm also thinking, never coming here ever again. Came home and immediately was like posting about it on my Instagram. Like, what the fuck? But then I also, so this is how fucked up it is. When people say things to you, right? So then I come home and I immediately go into my bathroom and I take off my top and I'm standing there and I'm staring at my nipples and I'm like, are they weird? Like, I don't know. Like, and it's funny. I mean, not to share all kinds of random information about myself, but my nipples are literally the color of my freckles, right? So I don't know. Maybe that is weird. I don't know, right? Like, they've been my nipples my entire life. Also the areola, just in case you're wondering, if there's a separation of color, it's all the same color.
I wasn't.
Like, thanks for the clarification. But Jeff wasn't home. Jeff, I think, was still in Singapore at the time. But then I'm on the phone with him and I was like, oh, just a question. Do they look weird to you? Are they like a weird color? Or like, are they like, are anything about them weird? He's like, what are you talking about?
Oh God, I so badly want to see your nipples now.
Okay. I'm all for the ratings.
that's the first time I heard that nipple story.
Yeah, well.
I had no idea. I'm sorry that happened to you.
It's weird. Like, I have this weird magnet of people saying things to me. Like, I was in Costco, you know, like the fashion capital of the world, Costco. And I was trying on, I think it was like a winter vest or something, right? Like one of those kind of down-filled like zipper things. And I was putting it on and I was like, and there's no mirrors there, but I was trying to get like a feel of it, whatever. And this woman comes over to me and she says, oh, excuse me, like what size are you trying on? And I thought she was thinking for herself, right? And I said, oh, it's a medium. And she's like, you might want to consider a large. And I stood there and I'm like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah. Well, how did she seem though? Did she like, I don't know. Now I'm trying to defend the woman. Like, was she trying to actually be helpful or is it only offensive because it has like because she said large or what if she had said you should get a small? Would it still have bothered you?
Not as much.
But sometimes people are just trying to be helpful, you know, and other times they're being like offensive and not, sometimes they realize it, sometimes they don't.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't disagree with that. Like, it's interesting, like living in Asia for, and I've told you stories, you know, but living in Asia, like, it's like people say that we don't have a filter, which I don't necessarily believe, but like, you want to live in a place where there's no filter, like go to Singapore. Like the amount of times that I was like, how are you okay with all of your ugly spots? Like, did you not want to take care of them? And I'm like, they're freckles. They're ugly spots. And I'm like, okay. I mean, I'm happy that I like my freckles, you know, like, could you imagine if I didn't, I'd be like, you know, anyway.
My ugly spots.
Yeah. Ah. It's like a therapy session. Release. Thanks, Karen.
Oh, I'm here for you.
So aside from my stories, what role do you, I mean, we're so active on social media, right? Or at least I am. What role do you feel that social media plays in shaping the public perceptions of women over 45?
I'm trying to look for something good in social media and I can't. This is the problem.
For me, like when I'm looking at people and their posts and things, like I feel like a lot of the downward spiral in humanity is in the comments.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say, but it's unrealistic. So I think social media, especially people who are, who have content that doesn't conform to, you know, the standard media norms. I really wish that they would just monitor the comments and get rid of the negative comments. Everybody says, oh, well, you have to, you know, oh, you have to let people say their opinion, but that's not what comments are anymore. Comments are just like fucking cage matches. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so, no, I don't think, if someone's like really being an ass, I don't think that allowing them to comment and perpetuating that and then igniting the fire helps. I think if we see a picture of somebody who we think is unusual in whatever way, and you just have the positive comments, that can have a huge effect on the social perception.
Absolutely. I also just kind of think of, I think it's a combination of like what my grandmother used to say, as well as in the Aristocats Disney movie that I think Marie got told by her mother, if you can't say something nice, you say nothing at all. Anyway, so what's up with you? Anything new and exciting going on?
There, you know what? The way that blogging is, it's just a constant chase, a constant little changes all the time, nonstop. So I don't have time to make any kind of big changes because I'm spending my days in life just trying to keep up with the ever-changing world of the internet and social media and blogging. Things change monthly, like we're in a big change specifically right now. I'm just trying to keep it together, basically. Just keep it together. No, I've been asked to write a books, and I just don't have time. And right now, even though I would love a hardcover book on, just as, you know, like a vanity project to have on the coffee table. Really, I would make more money. And at this stage in my life, that's now sort of my goal, quickly make the money so I can eventually retire. Yeah, I'm losing a lot of my scruples as I age. I'm just no time for ego projects like books and whatever. Just stick with the blog.
Is there any kind of like trend that's happening with blogging, or, I mean, your formula, which is great and it's always engaging and entertaining, but is there, like, you know, with magazines, for example, they'll have like the trends that are for the season, whatever. Do you find that that happens as well with blogging, or do you ignore that, or how does that affect you?
Yeah, it does, but I don't follow them. I have stopped really looking at Pinterest. I've stopped looking at social media because it is too easy to be influenced, and I don't want to be a part of what, like, I don't want to get sidetracked. You know, same thing like with the book. I just want to do what I do. I think I entertain people. I think I'm a good teacher. And that's always my goal, is to entertain and to teach people, especially women, that it ain't that hard. I have no training in anything. I'm just wildly curious, then they can do it too. There is nothing I find sadder than when a woman sends me a message or an email and says, I can't wait to get my husband to try this, like whatever project it was. It's, no, you can do it. But I guess not everyone wants to. So I just want to keep doing that. So I don't really follow the trends of what other blogs are doing. But in terms of the way the pages look, and that changes constantly, whether you're writing your information for Google or for actual readers, that changes constantly. Like Google prefers a specific type of post. Readers who are there to actually read, not just quickly get information, like not just quickly, oh, what's the recipe? They don't like those posts. So
yeah.
And yet I have to please both. So that's just sort of my job every day, every year, is to find a balance between those two things while teaching and entertaining.
And do you have like a kind of, I guess, a favorite topic that you kind of go for, or kind of what inspires you to kind of come up with the next idea?
It's all seasonal. And I've found out, I usually now take off the first couple of weeks of January, 2 or 3 weeks. Last year it was to organize my house, but really the reason that I'm not the sole reason, but one of the reasons I do it is because to have that kind of time off is the only time I have to become creative, because I work so many days and so many hours that all of the creative things that I like to do, I don't have time. So, but normally I do, it's seasonal, you know, like, obviously I love gardening and growing vegetables. So during the summer months, that's, you know, mainly the topic is growing vegetables, growing flowers, and then just little tips that are going to help people throughout the day. And then winter, I'm big on the Christmas pledge. That's a lot of my focus at Christmas, is on this Christmas pledge, where I teach people or force them to get all of their Christmas crap done in November. And then everything else is, you know, just whatever I think, whatever I need help with or whatever I'm doing at the moment, that's what ends up on the blog.
What if your friend, just throwing it out there.
I don't have friends.
You don't have friends. What if you had an acquaintance that you kind of knew that had, say, like a countertop that needed maybe a wet saw to cut it? Would you like to do that?
You can cut.
Sorry, I'm thinking my laundry room renovations right now. Sorry, I'm making it about me.
You can handle a wet saw. In fact, you can even DIY a wet saw. All you need is somebody to stand there with a hose while you use, you know, whatever saw you have.
Right. Okay. I don't think an emery board would work. I'd be there for a while. I was having a look at your blog recently, you know, trying to be a good friend to, like, you know, catch up, whatever. Trying, you know, I fail a little bit. But I saw you posted about owls in your backyard recently.
Owls. Yes. Did you see them? Did you see pictures of the owls? I've got pictures and videos. And okay, so what happened is the year before, I put up an owl house in a tree, because when I was in my backyard in the summer, I could hear screech owls. For those who don't know, can't imagine, but a screech owl actually sounds like a horse.
I didn't know that.
You'll hear it, like if you're sitting outside quietly in the summer, listen for something like this.
Karen, there's no end to your talent. I didn't know that you did that. You do voices? What the hell?
Now that, of course, is specifically a screech owl. Were you to encounter a horned owl or a barn owl or a bat, they would all be very different. But that was the screech owl. So I heard that in the summer. I put an owl box up. I did everything as right as I could. I have an entire post on how to properly install an owl box, what direction it should be, everything, so that you can get an owl. Because if you hear them in your neighborhood, you have them. So I put the owl box up in September. By February, I happened to be letting the dog out and looked up, and oh my God, there was an owl in the owl box. I've never been more shocked by anything. I wouldn't have been more shocked if it came out of my vagina. It was astonishing. Like, oh my God, it's really an owl. Anyhow, so then that owl, I named him Snacks, because he was tiny and everybody likes snacks. So he, which I think is a he, I have no idea, it might be a she. got a mate. They had an owl. I only saw one, but they had an owlet, and they live in my backyard about 5 feet from my kitchen window. So every morning I come down to get my coffee, and then I just look up from my kitchen window and I see my owl. They leave at about, well, whenever dusk is, that's when they fly, look yeah. for food, and then they come back sometime around early morning. Every day I have an owl out there, yeah.
So will, because I don't know anything about owls, will they, is that their house now? Like they live there? Or do they...
Yeah. Yeah, that's the, so owls have a couple of properties around their neighborhoods, but then only one is their primary property. And mine is the primary property where it stays all night, or it stays all day.
Wow. That's so cool.
The owl has adjusted amazingly. My sister said, like, oh, you better move your, because I have, you know, chopping blocks and wood splitters, and you better move that away from the owl so as not to disturb it. But I thought, well, no, because it's my backyard. So anyhow, no, I have a wood splitter that I use that is directly under the owl box, and he doesn't even ruffle a feather, nothing. He doesn't care. So we're all used to each other.
That's amazing. I need to come by and visit. I know I always say that. Vanessa's so far away.
I know, you're so far. You're so far. But I just ordered a camera for my owl box, a special camera that I'm going to hook up directly to my router. So it's an IP camera, which means I can live stream.
That's cool.
But the only problem is the owl box is like 10 feet in the air. The owl is in the owl box all the time, other than say from 8 p.m. until 4 a.m. Yeah, so I'm going to put if I can manage to do it, I'll get really good live shot in the owl box. So if there's babies being born or whatever,
that's so cool. Okay, I'm sorry, now I'm losing my voice. let me take a sip of my vodka. I have one more question for you, and I feel like this is also one of them, but can you describe any memorable moment, or is there any, maybe more than one, from your careers? I put a plural in there. Anything that really stands out for you?
I've had a really interesting life. Like I can't, and there really isn't one thing that stands out. There are just so many things, but the one person that I always reference that I interviewed that for some reason I enjoyed and didn't think I would was Donny Osmond.
Oh,
I don't care about Donny Osmond. I have no opinions on Donny Osmond, but Donny Osmond is such a professional. He made me feel like he had never had anyone ask him any of these questions before, that he had been asked hundreds of millions of times. Because when you do like a press tour, you could only cover certain things. Like there's only so many ways you can ask, how'd you come up with the idea to do this? Anyhow, he was just charming and very warm and nice. And I really liked Donny Osmond, and that surprised me.
It's so interesting that you mention him too, because I used to have a crush on him when I was a little kid. Weird. I used to watch the Donny Marie show.
Yeah.
Just recently, because I was even wondering, I think I actually Googled him, because recently I was like, I wonder what he's up to, like random. And he seems to still be touring. And I honestly didn't even know he was still around. Isn't that bad?
Yep. See, but that's, and there you go. That's what makes him a professional. When it's funny, because when you interview people, it's very often the case that people who are on their second career of the same career, like John Travolta or Donny Osmond or whoever, people who have just stuck with the industry for a long time are so much more gracious and have so much less ego than the one-hit wonders. It's amazing.
Absolutely. I remember working with probably shouldn't mention the name, but I think they're a Canadian band. They had a one-hit wonder, and I had been working on a night shoot. This is years ago. And that was a busy time for me too. Like, I think we were doing the TV show at the time, and I was probably doing Canadian Idol. Then I had a night shoot. Then I had this shoot in the day with this band. And there was only one female in the band, and she wasn't really a big makeup person, but I don't tend to be makeup heavy when I'm doing my work. And she came in, had one look at my makeup and was like, oh no. She's like looking for a man. I'm not sitting down. I am not doing that. And it was for a cover of a music magazine. And I went over to her and I was like, look, I just got off a night shoot. I'm really tired. I'm not heavy handed. You just got off an airplane. Why don't we make this less painful for both of us? I'll do very minimum. And you can have a look in the mirror. And if you want me to take it off after, no problem. Then it was like, she's my best friend, right? But it was like painful. And honestly, I don't think they're around anymore. You still hear their song coming on the radio. Like they're stealing sunshine somewhere. Any advice? Do you have any advice for women, you know, that are thinking of changing careers or, you know?
I mean, my only advice is just do it. Find what you're good at. I see, it's all typical. The cliches are true. Find what you're good at. Do it. What do you like to do? Try and find a way to make money around that. For me, the most important factor in anything that I've done or had any success at is I'm not necessarily the best. I'm not the best at all, but I'm persistent. And the people who make it are the people who are persistent. It's not the people who are the most talented most of the time. Like it took me to get my first job on television with CFMT. I volunteered at my local television station for free for probably 5 years, the last three of which I was sending out tapes. And I have a stack like this. I have a stack of rejection letters from the first 3 years of working. Wow. But I just kept sending tapes out. I just kept doing it. And then CFMT finally hired me. So I got to, I'm not sure where they are, but I tied all those rejection letters up with a little satin bow. Put them in a box.
Oh my God, I love it. Just to keep you humble.
Just to keep, there's CNN and oh, I was swinging for the trees, man. Oprah, like I'd never done any television, nothing. Like I was volunteering at my local cable 14. I'm going to see if Oprah wants to hire me. She should hire me.
Yeah, so, that's amazing. That is amazing.
Confidence and persistence.
There you go. I remember when, because I remember seeing you on CFMT, like before we met, and then going in for the audition for the W Network. And I don't think I had a heads up that you're going to be there. But I remember walking in the door and seeing you and was just like, oh my God, she's so funny. I want to work with her.
See, and that's because it was CFMT. They let me do whatever I want. And also did you watch the Netflix documentary on Jerry Springer? I'm sure you didn't. Why?
I watched the first episode yesterday and I honestly found it like so cringy and made me feel sick. And it was just kind of sad to watch. I don't think I'll watch anymore.
That was my life because I was in the middle of the Jerry Springer show. So in Ontario, if you saw how famous Jerry Springer was in that like first part of that, you're reminded of how huge he was. I was exactly as famous as Jerry Springer with no, like I made $28,000 a year. I had no, people were following me into the bath. Like it was nuts.
I watched the Martha Stewart documentary recently. And honestly, she reminded me so much of you, or you reminded me so much of her. And, you know, you almost did jail time because of that great heist attempt in Dundas.
I can't believe you're talking about that. I did. I'm not a convicted felon. I'm sneaky and I steal chocolate, apparently. I went into a store. Everybody has done that where you go into a store, you pick something up, you're waiting for someone else getting an ice cream or something, and then you leave the store with that with that thing.
So funny.
Just
so that our listeners can hear the story. I just love it. It's just so funny. So I was visiting Karen. We're in this like chocolate shop, right? In Dundas, Ontario, a cute little chocolate shop. And we're like chatting away and then got all the way back to it. We walked there, walked back to Karen's place, get in. And Karen has still had in her hand this fucking bag of chocolate. And she's like, oh my God. Oh gosh, so funny.
And then I almost went back the next day to bring it back, but then that felt even weirder.
The great heist. Dundas, Ontario. Yeah.
Yeah. I just ate the chocolate.
Yeah, you know, deserved. Well, thank you so much, Karen. I really appreciate it. I feel like this was so much fun.
It was fun. you ever want to talk about menopause symptoms, you give me a call.
Oh, great.
I got my hair done yesterday, as you can see,
because it looks so lovely.
Relatively, yeah. Okay. And yeah, I told her all the different menopause things, because she's younger than I am and is in, she's thinking she might be in perimenopause, which when I was in perimenopause was not a term.
Right.
I'd never heard, it might've been a term, but I'd certainly never heard of it.
I haven't heard of it until like more recently too, to be honest. So I don't know.
We should look and see if it actually exists. Yeah. Like, is it like, yeah. You know, does it just seem to appear out of nowhere? And is there, as though all of us should know what that, oh, she's in perimenopause.
Also, who the fuck is Perry?
Also that.
Oh. I also like, you know, it always bugs me. Like, why is it everything that has to pertain to women of like some sort of like medical something? Why does the word men have to be in there? Like, we need to change that.
That's a whole another show.
Thanks for tuning in to the Fuck You 50s. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to follow and rate the podcast. And we'd love to connect with you on Instagram. So be sure to follow us at the Fuck You 50s. The Fuck You 50s is hosted by Andrea Clare and edited and produced by Bespoke Productions Hub. See you next time.